do it. And I have stepped into that. So, good morning. I am Mindy Ralston, and again, Jenny is not here today, and we have a ministry team here at Agape, and so we do have kind of rotating speakers throughout the months. And so it's my turn. I've been up. I've been scheduled for today for a while. Most of you know that we have been facing some family crisis with Doug's diagnosis. So this may be the last time I'm up here for a while, and we may not be here on Sundays. So just know that we are here in spirit, and we're not going anywhere. We may not be able to be here. Just this week, you know, the diagnosis, we finally saw the specialist, and they are recommending a heart transplant for Doug in Minneapolis. And so we have no idea what that entails or anything else. So we're just trusting God for every day. But the scripture that you all can believe with us on, got your pen ready? John 9:3 in the Passion Translation is the scripture we are standing on and believing for. And it said, it happened to him so that you could watch him experience God's miracle. So that is our scripture that I always go back to and read. I don't know how the miracle is going to happen. One way or the other. It is John 9:3. And it was Jesus speaking about a blind man. And they asked Jesus, you know, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither. It happened to him so that you could watch him experience God's miracle. So, whatever that miracle looks like, we are going to trust God in it. Yes, we have lots of feelings and emotions that come along with that. But again, that's what we go back to, okay? And that's not what my message is about today. So, not really. Maybe a little. I don't know. So, let's do something a little lighthearted to start out the message with. You know, this is kind of heavy information I just shared with you all. So so we like to start with something a little bit lighthearted and funny, and then we'll go into the message. But so I found this online. It's super cute. And it's a teacher asking questions to their students, okay? So teacher, how old is your father? Kid, he is 6 years. Teacher, how? How is that possible? Kid, he became father only when I was born. Teacher, Maria, go to the map and find North America. Maria, here it is. Teacher, correct. Now, class, who discovered America? Class, Maria. Teacher, Glenn, how do you spell crocodile? Glenn, K-R-O-K-O-D-I-A-L. Teacher, no, that's wrong. Glenn, maybe it is wrong, but you asked me how I spelled it. Teacher, Donald, what is the chemical formula for water? Donald, H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O. Teacher, what are you talking about? Donald, yesterday you said it's H2O. H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O. Teacher, Clyde, your composition on my dog is exactly the same as your brother's. Did you copy his? Clyde, no, sir, it's the same dog. Teacher, Harold, what do you call a person who keeps on talking when people are no longer listening? Harold, a teacher? That's all. All right, man. Whoa, boo. All right, we're going to pray and get started. Father God, thank you for this morning that we have come together to be in your presence, and you do not disappoint ever. So we just take this time to focus on you. Lord, I ask you to open our hearts to your word and to speak to each one of us individually in here today to hear what you need us to hear, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we live on an acreage, and it has two houses, and Allie, our daughter, she's 24, rents the other house, and she has horses, and so she has always been horse crazy from little girl, and I took her to riding lessons every week for like 10 years. Yeah, in the winter, and it's freezing in the barn, and I'm sitting there like this, and she's posting and doing her horsey thing, right? And so she just has always been horse crazy. So we have this acreage, and she has horses, and then she has a couple friends that have a couple horses there as well. So just horse crazy, horse loving girl. Well, she also had spent some time at Ellsworth Community College in the equine program there. She didn't finish it because the year she went was 2020 and they got shut down, but she was there, and then she ended up just finishing out her associate's degree there. But so she had really just loves horses, loves training, loves riding, all of that. So we have horses, and she also has worked with some and sold them, and kind of that's just her love, right? And so there was a friend of hers from college that reached out to her, and her grandmother, this friend's grandmother, was selling the family farm and had some horses that needed to be sold, and they really loved this one specific horse. And so they reached out to Allie, knowing her love of horses, and they asked her if she would be interested in purchasing this horse. So she went down to see it. The name of the horse is Freedom. And she went down to see the horse. Is this my water? It's not open, so I'm taking it. She went down to see this horse named Freedom, and just really loved it. And it was, you know, rather expensive, but she worked out a payment plan and decided to buy it. You know, she already has, I don't know what, how many, two horses. So yeah, she already has two horses of her own. So so they actually trailered Freedom up to our house and brought her. It looks like Spirit, the movie, you know, that's what this horse looks like. And so, thank you, darling. And so, yeah, I know, right? Thank you. We need moms around here, don't we? We need help. So she had started to make payments on Freedom. And Doug was hospitalized July 3rd, was kind of the first time we had gotten the diagnosis of what was really going on. And July 4th, the lady who she purchased the horse from messaged her and said, "Allie, I really feel that God wants me to give you Freedom." And she got that message, you know, when we were at the hospital and stuff. And she was just like blown away. And she got that information on the 4th of July. So Freedom was given to her on the 4th of July. And so Freedom is at our house. And Freedom actually has spent 7 years as a therapy horse to battered women. And so this horse is just very, an incredible, amazing horse. So this horse is at our farm. And her friends, Allie's friends, have been working on our property, helping us this summer. But also they have extended the pasture. So the day that they had extended the pasture of where the horses were at, they had let, you know, they had just done it. It was, you know, we allowed them to take up more of our yard. So, you know, that's always the thing at our house. That's my yard. Well, I need more pasture. So anyway, so the horses had, you know, they came out of the barn, and there was, I think they had split the horses up. There was only two. And the other horse that came out into this new pasture with Freedom was Rue. And Rue is a stinker. He is just a little, well, he's a stinker. And so he always pins his ears and charges the other ones, and they're always fighting, and he's always starting trouble. Anybody know people like that in your life? Starting trouble, have some kids like that. And he's just, you know, anytime he walks into the, you know, with someone else there and they're eating, and he'll walk in and pin his ears and charge at him to get him away from the food. He's just a little. And so so I was watching them that day, and so those two came out into the pasture, and he was just picking on Freedom, just pinning his ears and being mean, and just, you know, and I watched her do it twice. She got sick of it, and she chased him back to the barn and into the barn, and she stood in front of the door of the barn crosswise so he could not come out. So I started thinking about this story as I, and I just was like, oh my gosh, you know, like, he deserved it. And, you know, I'm just like, horses, they're just fun to watch, right? Well, I started thinking about Rue and what his name means, and Freedom, And so I just kind of Googled rue, and rue means bitterly regret. I'm going to make you rue the day, right? Bitter regret. In Greek, it means sadness, grief, heartache, heartbreak, anguish, grief, and pain. Right? Well, here's something even more fabulous. In Hebrew, rue means friend, companion, neighbor. Sometimes what the world says about you is completely opposite of what God says about you. That horse was not meant to be the bitter regret of the property. That horse is meant to be a friend, a companion. And here's the even more crazy, fascinating part to me, is that it said that Rue is a derivative of Ruth. And I thought, Ruth? All right. So, over there. So, so I'm like, Ruth? Well, then, of course, you know, that took me to the book of Ruth in the Bible. So we're going to read from there today. So Ruth, but, you know, I don't remember Ruth being bitter. Do you? Interesting. Interestingly, so here's the background of this story. So Naomi and her husband, they moved away far from their land with their two sons. And they're in the Moabites. They moved towards Moab, right? And so Naomi and her husband and two sons, the two sons got married. Each, you know, they each got a wife, right? Well, in this faraway land from Naomi's homeland, her husband dies, then her son dies, then her other son dies. So she's left with just her and her two daughter-in-laws. Daughters-in-law? Two daughter, however that goes. So we're going to pick it up in Ruth 1:8. It says, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, there we go, I got it right now, go return to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them and she lifted and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. They loved one another. They had become family, right? But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone against me. Anyone ever hit a hard time in life and say, God is against me. God doesn't love me. That's what Naomi is. The hand of the Lord is against me. Sometimes it may feel that way. Where are you, God? I'm in this crisis. Where are you? Where were you? Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her companion, friend, Ruth. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you, for wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. I feel this is very passionately said. I read it way too calm, but I don't want to scare you, okay? She is saying, there ain't nothing that's going to separate us. I am going with you. Right? And she says, when she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem, and it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. They remembered Naomi. The women said, is that Naomi? They are like, oh, Naomi's back, right? And she said, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? I thought it was Ruth who was supposed to be bitter. But I'm going to tell you that what we believe about ourselves and let on the inside, we swallow that pill, poison pill. What we believe about ourselves sometimes is more powerful than what the world says about us. So in thinking about freedom and Rue, 1 John 2, in the Passion Translation, who paid the price for our freedom? 1 John 2:1 says, "You are my dear children, and I write these things to you so that you won't sin. But if anyone does sin, we continually have a forgiving Redeemer who is face to face with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for your sins, and not only for ours, but also the sins of the whole world." Jesus is our freedom. When we, you know, we have a prayer ministry that is available to us, where we just kind of do one-on-one time. And during prayer ministry, they often lead you through like a healing prayer, a restoring prayer. And in that prayer, we lead you to the cross, and we encourage you to lay that whatever is going on in your life that you're struggling with at the cross, right? And then we say, we place the cross between me and that sin, that pain, that whatever it is, that burden. We place the cross between us. Freedom in Jesus, the cross is between us and Rue, that bitter regret. And some of us have been carrying that bitter regret for a long time. You're allowing that into the pasture of your life, into the pasture of your day-to-day lives. How many can say that there's times when I am just, nothing's going on, I'm just working, and all of a sudden, boom, I have a thought of something that happened to me, whatever, that I did that was stupid, the shame wants to jump on. It came from nowhere. Does that ever happen to anyone else? From nowhere. That thought, that bitter regret wants to jump on me. I don't want that in the pasture of my life any longer, because freedom, Jesus has paid the price for that freedom. You know what? It's my choice to say no. Jesus has paid the price for that freedom. I do not have to carry that bitter regret. I'm not going to swallow that pill of poison. I don't know where I'm at. So Galatians 5:1 says, "At last we have freedom, for Christ has set us free. We must always cherish this truth and firmly refuse to go back to the bondage of our past." Again, freedom, the cross, is between us and that bondage. I do not have to carry that bondage in my day-to-day life. John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." We are free to enjoy the pasture of this life with Jesus. We do not have to carry the bondage of our past, the bondage of our sin with us. So, during this time in the last 6 weeks, 8 weeks, I don't know how long it's been, obviously, when we're going through a tough time, I often will find scripture that I just read over and over that, you know, brings comfort. And Psalms 23 is amazing. Mary Kay actually used it in her message a few weeks ago. I know with Doreen, when she spoke, she didn't use Psalms 23, but she was talking about our thoughts and our actions and our beliefs. And it's just been really amazing the last few weeks how everything has just threaded together. Psalms 23, New King James Version says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." There's something restorative about nature in itself. "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me." I once heard someone say that the shepherd's staff, you know, has the hook on it. It wasn't meant to beat the animals. It was meant to see an animal that was straying, and that rod or staff would reach out and it would hook around the animal's neck and gently be led back to the herd, right? Or herd, flock, thank you. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." When I was a kid, I thought that was three things. I thought it was surely goodness and mercy. I didn't know who Shirley was, but she was following me. Surely, goodness and mercy, you'll always think of that now, won't you? Will follow me all the days of life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the Passion Translation, I want to read the same chapter. This is the Passion Translation. "Yahweh is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace near the quiet brook of bliss. That's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me the right path and leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness so I can bring honor to his name. Even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, God is not the one who puts sickness on us." Amen. He is not. Right? There are times we live in a fallen world, and there are times life happens, but you know what? He leads us through it, no matter what it is. Right. "When your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. You become my delicious feast even when my enemies dare to fight. You anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of you until my cup overflows. So why would I fear the future? Only goodness and tender love pursue me all the days of my life. Then afterward, when my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence to be forever with you." I don't need to say anything else. That says it all. So in closing today, I just want to give an opportunity. You know what? If bitter regret has been dogging you, I want to pray for you. And some of you can think, "Good Lord, you're going through hell. What are you doing up there?" I don't know. I'm doing what God asked me to do. So if you have been dealing with bitter regret and it is dogging your life, I want to pray for you today. And I'm just going to, if you guys have some quiet music, I want to pray for you. And I think we can, just a minute. I'm going to just give you an opportunity to stand if what I said resonates and you just want prayer. I just want you to stand. And I think the Holy Spirit is here and is